welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. You're listening live to our broadcast today as we again start a brand new week of broadcasting of the Grace Hour right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to be with you, friends, as we get a new week of broadcasting started online at gracehour.org and, of course, Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and many other platforms where you can tune in and listen to the Grace Hour live or archived. Thanks for being with us today, friends, as we, again, get this new week started. We'll be talking about the importance of agape love for our neighbors and for our enemies. And we'll develop that theme throughout this week, live, right here on the Grace Hour. And we hope you'll join us. This is the first full week of broadcasting here in the month of March. And again, we want to remind you that coming up on Wednesday, we'll have that special Women's Day broadcast with the ladies here in the studio. That's going to come up in just a couple of days. And then, of course, we'll get to the Thursday broadcast, the tape message from Grace Hour founder, Pastor Stephen. So we got a great week ahead, and we hope you'll stay with us throughout the week, if that's possible. We're glad you're with us today. We want to remind you that following the devotional message, we will open the phone lines and we'll take your phone calls, and we hope many of you will, again, join us live right here on the broadcast. Quite simple. Get to a phone, dial one of these numbers, and join us live with your comments, questions, your testimonies, a prayer request that you may have that you'd like to share with the body of Christ worldwide, or a counseling need, whatever the nature of your call. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and join us live on the Grace Hour. Well, friends, as of last evening here at our ministry in Baltimore, we have been able to put together a number of, well, actually a substantial amount of aid and assistance and help that we'll be sending off to the country of Ukraine. Again, medical supplies and just some daily needs for all those that are caught in the midst of this conflict. And we know that many other ministries are helping out, both with supplies that they can send and, of course, financially. And we're doing our part here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. And it was a blessing to see so many people come to church last night and bring with them some items and some help. And we saw all of the supplies being boxed up today, and we'll be heading to the Ukraine. And, of course, our prayers continue to be with the people of that country and the conflict that they find themselves immersed in at this time, and just praying for God to bring peace to that part of the world, and especially to protect all those that we know in that country. And we have, of course, several churches that are affiliated with us here at the Greater Grace World Outreach in the country of Ukraine. So please be keeping them in prayer as well. And, of course, all those precious souls that are fleeing the country. And again, they're heading to some of the countries such as Poland and Romania and Moldova and other countries as well. So please, the country of Hungary, of course, keep them in your prayers, friends. We are going to continue to pray until we see a resolution to this conflict, until God steps in and stops it on behalf of those precious people of the country of Ukraine. Well, friends, Pastor Shibeli has returned from the mission field. He was in the continent of Africa visiting several countries over the past, well, over a month. And he's back with us live in the studio. And welcome home.
Thank you. Wow. It's great to be home in just a place where you know God loves you, a church where you know God loves you. There's really nothing like that. As our subject today is love your neighbor, love your enemies. That could be, you know, significant as two different topics. But actually, what could take place is, what if your neighbors are your enemies? That would be very interesting. You know, nobody wants to have that take place. But at times, that has happened. Maybe that could happen in these kind of conflicts and in these places. And I think before we define and we start thinking about talking about loving your neighbor and loving your enemies, let's define what love is. And many people have defined love based upon their own human natural temporal experience. But love is way beyond that. The word that's used for love in the scriptures, in the New Testament, is agape, A-G-A-P-E, or agapeo, A-G-A-P-A-O. And it has a very unusual, unique meaning. I think it was only in the Bible and through the Holy Spirit where we were able to really define this. And you can only define love, by the way, in the scriptures. Many people try to define love maybe personally themselves, or maybe based upon culture, maybe based upon family or relationships. But really, we must bring definition to the love of God based upon the scriptures and God's personal, perfect, eternal word. This is how you define the love of God, not just by, you know, my idea of what God's love is, based upon past experiences, human relationships, and whatnot. So as we define the word agape love, there's some key words that we want to think about in the definition of agape love. Number one, it is eternal and unending. God's love is eternal and never ends. I think that's amazing. When we set our minds to think about the love of God, it's eternal. It's not temporal. It doesn't just stop or become obsolete because somebody doesn't deserve it. Because if you love your neighbor and then you have to love your enemies, or you don't have to, but you love your enemies, then that would come with an eternal love, not a temporal love, not a natural love. It's a love that's eternal. When it says, John 3:16, God so loved the world, this is eternal. God is eternal, and his love is eternal. What comes out from God is eternal. God is eternal, and what comes out of his character and nature is that which is eternal. And he so loved the world. You find that statement made in John 3:16 and 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, and Ephesians chapter 5, 31, 32, 33. The word so loved. So loved. And that expression in the Greek language is huto agapeo. And it means, it speaks about a certain quality of God's love. It speaks about the quantity of God's love. And that is key. It speaks about the quality and the quantity of God's love. And that love is absolutely eternal. And it's for each one and everyone. Each one and everyone. God isn't just loving one person or Christians only. Obviously, Christians can receive it and respond in loving him, but he loves each one and everyone. And that's amazing. That would include those who are unbelievers, those who are ungodly, those who have become enemies of God. So loved is a has a quality and a quantity to it that God is loving each one, and he's loving everyone, each one and everyone. So that becomes very personal, and it becomes very large in its scope of every single person that's ever been born. I want you to think about that, that God loves every single person, has loved and loves every single person that has ever been born and will ever be born. That's the scope of God's love. That is how large in significance God's love is. The scope of God's love. Each one and everyone. So God's love is eternal. Number two, and this is what many other religions can never, they can sometimes grasp God being eternal. But in Christianity, we know God as being personal. And his love is personal. Even to the point in John 13 where he loved his own, including Judas, even unto the end. It says he loved his own. That's personal. God has a personal love. Many times we see love that's very generalized and very abstract. And it really doesn't have any definition to it. But God's love is not only eternal, but it's also personal. Eternal and personal. And really, until you experience a personal love, people can know, oh, yeah, yeah, I know God is love. But do you understand that God loves you? That God's love is personal. Remember in John 21, 15 through 17, at the end of his ministry, Jesus is saying to Peter, who will be the shepherd of the church, do you love me? He's speaking about a personal love that Peter would have for him. And he would know that Peter was receiving his love for Peter by Peter responding with the very same love that Jesus loved him with. Do you love me? Shepherd or feed my sheep, feed my lambs. So this has become something very personal. Mary Magdalene knew something about that in Luke chapter 7 and Luke chapter 8, where God would just love people, individual people. The man in Mark 5 whom he cast out thousands of demons from, he said, go and tell people in the Decapolis region the great compassion, which is a result of love that God has had on you. This love was personal. It was personal to Thomas, a doubter, personal to Peter, a denier, personal to James and John, who were known as sons of thunder, but they became sons of God's love. So this love is not just eternal, but it's absolutely personal. Next, this love is sacrificial. Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. John 15, 13. This love is self-sacrificing. There's so many definitions of this word agape. I'm not going to be able to go through all of them, maybe during the course of the week or at some time. But this love is sacrificial. Sacrificial. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten, the one and only, the unique one. This love is sacrificial. If love is not sacrificial, it's not agape love. It is not only eternal and not only personal, but it is sacrificial. It's sacrificial. Next, in 2 Corinthians 5:14, this love is constraining. It holds man on every side. The constraining love of God, the word is soon echo. It holds me in. It's got me surrounded. It's constraining. It is a motivating factor in my life. It is the motivating source of my life. This love is unending. And of course, because we already said that, it's eternal. This love is unconditional. It's not based upon your performance or conditions, but it's absolutely unconditional. So as we close this devotional and we explore this doctrine and this subject and this love throughout the week, let's be a people who are in a place of receptivity. The Holy Spirit. You know, one of the ministries that many people do not talk about so much in certain aspects of Christianity today, in certain denominations, is the evidence of the Holy Spirit being God's love. The Holy Spirit, in Romans 5:5, sheds the love of God abroad in the heart of a person. Hereby shall you know that they are my disciples if they what? Love one another. So let's begin to think about this. Please call in with us. We can speak about this, fellowship around this, and believe this. So Father, thank you today for this love, which is so incredible, eternal, personal, sacrificial, constraining, unending love. Help us today to get another grasp on this love, understand this love more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.
And amen. Well, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, live on the internet at gracehour.org, Facebook Live, YouTube Live. Thank you for joining us. And, of course, a number of other different platforms where you can listen to the broadcast live. So we certainly appreciate you being with us. And we want to invite you to join us. Those phone lines are open, and we'd love to hear what your thoughts are. We're living in some challenging days, to say the least. I think we could fit them into the category of perilous times. And I think our love is going to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be, the ones asking ourselves, yes, indeed, is this love personal? Is it eternal? Is it sacrificial? Is the love that we have for others sacrificial? Is it unconditional? Mm-hmm. Is it constraining, unending? These questions and others, I think we can, again, examine ourselves in light of the message that we've heard today. And, of course, never examining ourselves with the possibility of condemning ourselves, but just to see whether we are in the realm of the faith. Well, join us, friends. Here are those phone numbers once again. The toll-free number in all of North America is 800-338-7060. Once again, 800-338-7060. And the local number is 410-483-3700. Some of you know, of course, that the European Convention is coming up very, very soon, about 8 days. It will begin in the country of Poland, in the capital city, Warsaw, and many will be gathering there. So we hope that you'll be keeping Eurocon in your prayers, all those that will be traveling from different parts of the globe to, again, meet in Warsaw. And I wouldn't be surprised, Pastor Shabelli, if some of the folks who have escaped out of the Ukraine mm-hmm. make their way mm-hmm. all the way up to Warsaw.
Warsaw, Poland. Right. Yes, that would be a great blessing, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would. Yes, it would. We get a chance to encourage them.
Something interesting, Pastor Love. I counted, maybe my count was not exactly right, but I thought I counted, and that's using a Greek concordance along with English, 95 times. The Apostle John used the word agape or agapeo 95 times in his writings. That's amazing. 95 times. In 1 John chapter 4 and chapter 5, he used the word agape 29 times. What was on his mind? What was on his mind? It was agape love. This is something that you can see really had an indention into his mind, a real impact on the mind of John the Apostle. At one time, Jesus called him and his brother sons of thunder. Remember? They're not receiving you in this village in Luke 9. Let's call down fire from heaven like Elijah did. And Jesus said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Their manner of spirit was absolutely wrong. It was not the spirit of God's love. It wasn't the quality. The word manner can be the type. You don't know the type of spirit you are of, that you've been born of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. So you're trying to, what are you trying to do? Shed murder? Shed love, you know? And they learned a lesson from that. I'm sure they did, you know? Because you can see later on that they were very receptive, and John the Apostle was very receptive to people from every walk of life, from every tribe, from every culture. But think about like how natural cultural love, sometimes we could call it religious love, really has captured many people. And they really do not understand agape love. You know, I love these people, but not these people. I love this country's, not this country, you know? And you can see where all kinds of wars have taken place, having worked in Africa since 1986. That's 36 years. And I've seen so many different things that have taken place where there's been a lot of animosity and hostility between people of different countries and people of different tribes. And you can see, if you magnify the differences, old people, they don't love young people, young people, they don't love old people. Rich people, they don't love poor people. Poor people, they don't love rich people. Educated, they don't love illiterate. Illiterates, they don't love the educated. And you can see so many of these contrasts that are there, and there's no love in between there. And I think people know that. They understand that, and it doesn't really help when it comes to relationships at all. You know, it's detrimental to a godly relationship.
It's very encouraging, and you mention it in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that the Holy Spirit sheds abroad in our hearts God's love. Because mm-hmm. if we had to if we had to create that love, if that love had its mm-hmm. origin in our hearts, there would be a lot of people that we wouldn't be able to love.
Well, the natural man and the old sin nature heart, obviously there can be a good side of that tree and an evil side. And so the good side is, I'm not negative to humanitarian efforts. But if it doesn't come from the heart of God's love, before God, it doesn't bear any fruit and doesn't really get any acknowledgement from God. It's just human love, which is not sourced in God as being the motivating factor of the good deeds that are being done. I'm not saying, I'm ungrateful for the good things that are done because God has allowed it to take place. But as far as my concern or people's concern is, why are they doing this? Are they doing this to acclaim themselves or to become a better person by acts or works of in life? What is the reason behind doing what people do? And if it's just human love, if it's just for human recognition, then really God doesn't have a part in that at all.
Mm. Well, that goes back to that principle that you shared about the constraining force, the motivation behind mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. love. Again, if it's anything, what constraining us or motivating us to love others, if it's anything except God's love, mm-hmm. Then it's going to fall short. It's not going to get the job done. And yeah. Isn't it interesting, too, in John's Gospel, chapter 13, verse 35, that Jesus said, here's the mark of the Christian.
Mm-hmm.
This is the mark. And some people would say, well, must be the length of their hair, or it must be the clothes that they wear, it must be, the disposition, there's so many different marks in mm-hmm. some people's minds that set the Christian apart from the rest of the world. But Jesus made it clear, this is the mark of the Christian,
yes.
that you love one another.
Mm-hmm.
And when the world sees that, it's inescapable. You have to come to the conclusion that God the Father has sent the Son into the world.
Well, by this, John 13:35, you said it, by this shall all men know, everywhere, people everywhere, every culture, every country, this is something that is universal. It doesn't have just an effect in a certain place in life and time and whatever. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. How, Jesus? How? That you love one another. And if the church is not loving one another, the body of Christ, the body of Christ loving one another. If my hand hates my leg, we got a problem. We got a problem. Think about the body and every part of the body and how it comes together to be used to do so many things. By this, he says, by this, not by the building that you're in, not by the clothes that you wear, not by the way that you talk, not even by some of the habits that you might have or whatnot, but by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Because he loved people, and his disciples, if they're his disciples, that's what's going to take place. Other than that, how can you know? How can you know? Why? Because we all dress the same. We have the same denominational haircut. Huh? Well, we all evangelize the same way, or we all have the same kind of music in church, we all do it this way. No, only by this, that you love one another. People that will come into a church, whether it's our church or your church or any church, will they really experience agape love? This is the key. And maybe this is why people never come back. They did a survey one time in America of people that visited churches and asked them why they never returned. And it had nothing to do with the music, the facility. It was just that, people never befriended them. People never became their friends. They never experienced an initiation that meant that somebody cared for them. And said, why go back? I can just go be with other people. Why go back? So, if that is not happening in Christian circles and in the Christian church and in Christian life, no wonder people want nothing to do with church or Christianity.
Yeah.
People say it gets so strange. But I wonder why, people don't really want what Jesus Christ has to offer. Well, it's not that they don't want what Jesus Christ has to offer, but do they receive an offer from God's people about loving them, eternal, personally, unconditionally, self-sacrificing.
Amen. Well, we got an email from Jonathan. He's got a good question here. He says, how do I love my homosexual neighbors? I know God loves them, and I know that they're sinners, just like me, but I find that whenever I approach them, I feel strange, and I don't know how to be God's representative to them. I think Jonathan's question is a question that I think a lot of believers have, because in our minds, do we set apart this particular sin, and do we magnify it to a greater degree than we do other sins? Because, in other words, if Jonathan's neighbors were, oh, I don't know if they had anger issues or if they were thieves, he might not have such a difficult time loving them. What is it about it when this particular sin in people's lives caused some believers to want to withdraw from them and not share God's love with them?
Well, I think that would be wrong, not sharing God's love with them. I think that sin is sin. Certainly, some sins are more detrimental to people and culture and the world than others are. Of course, we understand the extent of what can take place. But I can love a person without being affected by their sin. Because if I minister to a drug addict, I want to make sure I don't find myself becoming like him. There's the thing, you know. So are you strong enough? Here's the question. Are you strong enough in God and in your walk with God to be able to do that without partiality, without prejudice, and without being affected by what they might come across by either saying this or living a certain way? And you might find yourself in that place. And then, of course, being very careful about, you know, obviously, would I want my children or grandchildren to see me hanging out with drug addicts? That might not be the best thing. So how I do it and when I do it, you know, that I'm not going to come across that way, because then they might not have a capacity to withstand the evil that comes forth from somebody addicted to drugs or an alcoholic or somebody of another lifestyle, and they might get drawn into it. So I've got to be very careful with that, you know.
Yeah.
And I must be led by God, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that the key?
Yeah.
I got to be led by God, because maybe I'm not in a place where I can resist temptation.
I think that blanket indictment that God has thrown over the entire human race, which is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, I think we just need to look at it from that perspective and realize, okay, that they're sinners, this is their particular sin, but, you know, you could look at somebody else, and I've had people that, you know, homosexuals say to me, well, you know, I was born this way. Well, I've said, I know. I was born a sinner too,
yeah.
Right? I mean, they want to make it sound like I don't have any choice in this, but
yes,
it would be like you and I at a young age learning how to steal and then stealing for the rest of our lives. And somebody says, you know, that's wrong. Well, I'm sorry. I was born this way.
Yes, sir.
You can't say that.
You're born with an old sin nature.
Exactly.
You're absolutely right. We have Pastor Arnaldo from Texas calling us.
Yes, he's joining us live on the Grace Hour.
Texas, you got a cowboy hat on?
I'd like to see that if he does.
Are you walking around with a pistol on the side of your belt?
Well, if I had a pistol on my belt, I wouldn't be having this phone call, Pastor Billy. That's not a good vision of Ronaldo with a pistol.
What are you doing in Texas?
Texas.
Well, I'm with the Speedies at the largest college in the world, Texas A&M, 70,000 students. A lot of people out soul winning. There's a post office here, Pastor Shabelli.
Really?
It's awesome. Yeah, they go soul winning. It's amazing.
Post offices are a thing.
Yeah, we share the gospel with people, you know. And I love what you guys are saying about love, and that love is not qualified, but it is directed. You know, it's not qualified, but it is directed. I mean, we tend to qualify who we love and how we love, but really, God directs it. My love is directed based upon the leading of the Holy Spirit. And that's what 2 Corinthians 5:14 and Romans 5:5 is all about, directed love. God's not careless with his love. He actually directs his love. That's like Romans 5:8 and 10 as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that sometimes people hide behind the freedom of love without the direction of love. I think the cross gives us liberty to love everyone, but I don't love people and change who I am. But if I love right. people the way God loves people, God's love can change anybody.
Because God loved us and never became like us. He changed us.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you could say, okay, God loved us, right? Okay, so God came to the world, just loved us and left. But that's not what the gospel is. The gospel is not a God that loves and then leaves. It's the God that loves and stays and puts mm-hmm. in the work, right? He puts mm-hmm. in the work. He put the work in through the cross. And the real veil or filter for my love is the cross. Like, I love the word Pastor Love said about all. Romans 3, all have sinned, but in the gospel, all are loved. All mm-hmm. have sinned, but all are loved. All have sinned. And like he said, because I have sinned, it doesn't give me permission to sin. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what does love do? Love leads me to the place where I can actually operate in love. Sin, in that place, I can't operate in love. I can't fellowship with love in sin. But love leads me to the place when I can actually have an operational love. I can receive it. I can fellowship with it. I can reveal it. And I think that's the message of the gospel. That's the message of the church, that there is a love that God would like us to operate in, not just to have it like a distant philosophical thing, like far away there's love. But no, there's a place where I can receive that love and I can operate in that love. And that's mine through the gospel and the cross.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus loved his own to the end.
Wouldn't you say, Pastor Shabelli, wouldn't you say that sometimes people use love, particularly when they're living in sin or when they're living a specific life choice, that love is my excuse for me to accept whatever you do?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, God loves me no matter what I'm doing. Yes, he loves you, but doesn't love what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't love what
it's
you're
like
doing.
Parents. Parents love their children, but parents don't co-sign everything their children do.
Amen.
You're still my son. I still love you, but because of love, I don't approve everything. Love mm-hmm. does not love without any kind of, like, let me say it this way. How can you define something without a boundary?
Can't.
And the boundary of love is truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't wipe truth off the page and just say this love just pours out. It doesn't matter which direction. And you might say at first when it benefits you, oh, that's great. But I love to drive my car through your front window. I love it. To set your house on fire. I love it. No, you can't love like that. Oh, now you want a boundary. Now you want a boundary for love. I can do what I mm-hmm. want to because of love. Oh, love is not permission for anything, really.
Well, it's always connected
to
the truth. Yeah, it has to be connected to truth, and that's key because we really define love through the scriptures, through what God's word is. We can't define love outside of God's word. And when you define love outside of God's word, you get into so many different problems, troubles.
Oh, And then anything, Pastor Ronaldo said, anything can become or fit into the
category
of love.
What's going on out there?
We're loving Texas. This is a wonderful place. God's got a vision for Texas. Pastor Chris is doing an amazing job in an area called Magnolia. And it is another area we're soul winning with the Speedies called College Station, next to a place called Bryant. It's a great time here. A lot of people are out. I mean, hundreds of people are out here. It's amazing. It's a ton of people here.
Pastor Adam Speedy. Wow. And is it the three or four kids? How many is it?
He has four.
Okay.
One is with us now. Three are AWOL.
Three are AWOL?
We're having a great time soul winning and having a great time with the body here. I think God will have more than one Greater Grace Church in Texas.
It's certainly big enough.
You ain't kidding me. Anywhere you have exits, Pastor Love, that are four digits, like, oh, just take exit 3,432. That alone should tell you. Are you kidding me?
That's quite a beltway they got. Hey, listen, Pastor Ronaldo, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul had a prayer. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. He said, this is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. I mean, there is the beautiful balance of an abounding love, yet it's according to truth and it has discernment. So again, what a definition of love, because again, some people say you can see a bulletin board, you know, and you know, people's sexual preferences. It's just all about love. It literally, there's a billboard across the country that just, it's all about love. Come on. What about a love that has discernment, discretion, that's according to truth? That is the kind of love that God wants us to have for others.
Yeah, I mean, you got those blind statements, love is love. What exactly have you said? nothing. It's just a blind statement that gives, that I hide behind so that I can do whatever I want.
Exactly.
And I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:15. He said, you know, the more I love you, the less I am loved. Now, that's what loving your enemies is about. It's not excusing your behavior. It's not giving you permission to be the way you are, but loving you because of who I am and not because of who you are. And that's really objective love. He says, the more I love you, the less I am loved, but I will gladly spend and be spent for you. So and through the cross, I can love my enemies. I can love my neighbor. And I don't have those kind of standards where I go before God and say, okay, God, I'm going to pray for my enemies and pray for my neighbors. I can pray for people. I can have a heart for people because God has a heart for people. And God's heart for people does not excuse people's behavior. He dealt with it. He didn't just walk away because of love. Mm. You know, Christ didn't walk down on the earth and say, hey, it's interesting that the word love is never mentioned in John chapter 1 when it talks about the incarnation of Christ. Light is mentioned, but love is not mentioned.
Mm. And yet
he didn't come as he's a God of love.
Yeah.
He came with light and with grace and with truth. But love is not mentioned. Because that's who he is, but in his ministry to deal with us, he had to deal with things that love motivated it, but he didn't have to say it.
And I think when it comes to a definition of love, you can get into John's epistle, and there it is, in bold letters, God is love. So it's almost as if God, who calls himself love, he's got to be the one that defines the true nature of what love is.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, that love is not a compromising love. It's a love based upon justice. And again, we see God free to love the world because he died for their sins.
Amen.
So justice has to be satisfied before this love can be poured out upon the human race.
Hey, I have a question for you.
Can
Hutus love Tutsis?
That's a dangerous question, Pastor Shabelli.
Yes, they can.
It's, you know what's amazing about that is like all the other questions come in about forgiveness, about mercy. But if I really understand God's mind and God's heart towards love, you're right. All those things are possible. But if I don't get God's mind and his truth, how he thinks, what motivates him love and how he thinks through that motivation with his mind, God's heart without God's mind makes me careless. It can even make me sentimental, really.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Hutus and Tutsis? Are you kidding me?
Now, define that for our listeners, Pastor Rinaldo, because it sounds like...
In East Africa, there are two major tribes that spill over into three countries, Burundi, Rwanda, Uganda, in some cases, Congo, almost five countries. And those are two large tribes of people that have had historic grievances. I mean, historical, where they've had mass murders of each other throughout the years. And every 20 or 30 years, one group will strike out against the other group. And thousands have been slaughtered. And to have a conversation with a Tutsi and a Hutu and talk about peace and forgiveness is it's like the Hatfield and McCoys on steroids. It's a huge, huge grievance. Can I love that person? And the answer to that question is, can I love my enemies? The answer is no. But can God love that person? Mm-hmm. And does God love that person? And the answer is yes. So how do I love that person? Well, I don't really do that. I love God. And then because I love God and God's love is shed abroad in my heart, I'm revealing God's love to that person. So it's not really me loving them. It's me revealing God's love to them because I can't love anybody. I don't even love me.
Have you witnessed that kind of love between the two of them?
I have seen Hutus and Tutsis in churches together. I've seen them praising God together. I've seen them in our own churches, actually. In Greater Grace churches, I've seen Hutus and Tutsis that have been united in Christ. And I've sat back in my mind and I've just kind of softly grieve like only God could do this. Mm-hmm. Only God could bring those two groups together. Because without God, it's just murder and revenge and payback and unforgiveness and bitterness. And it takes God to have that kind of love. And it makes sense because it's God's love.
Mm. Yes.
Amen.
You know what? You know what's great? God, through the cross, crucified genetics and generations.
Mm.
Wow. Beautiful.
And because he crucified genetics and generations, you know, these attitudes that, you know, just go from generation to generation to generations, the Italians and the Irish, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
Just keep going. I mean, there's so
That's
many.
Legendary.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
See,
you
here we are. We're sitting here, Italian, an Irishman here.
And we're
loving each other.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, we haven't talked about anything until you talked about that one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you guys, I don't want to uncover anybody, Pastor Love and Pastor Belly, but, I mean, the fact that both of you two are in that studio is monumental in itself.
Yeah. 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 And God,
and we're getting along. Can you believe
God
it?
God is real.
Finished work, right?
Pastor Ronaldo, thanks for the call.
Amen.
God bless
Say
you.
Say hi to the Speedies for us.
Yeah, give them our love.
Thank you for Grace Hour. Keep going.
Amen. Yep. Amen to that. God bless you. That's Pastor Ronaldo visiting the Greater Grace Churches in Texas.
Houston, Texas.
Amazing. Well, phone lines are open, friends. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number in all of North America. Right here in the Baltimore area, you can join us with a local number, 410-483-3700. Let's go to Erhan next.
Erhan?
Joining us. Yeah.
Erhan?
He is a Bible college student.
Erhan?
Here at Maryland Bible College and Seminary. Welcome. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Pastor Love and Pastor Shibeli. It's an awesome subject, and I just decided to just call and be part of that subject. It's amazing. And Grace Hour all the time, like, become blessing while I was even in Istanbul, Turkey. It was a blessing to me. And now that subject is really good, like, to love your neighbor and love your enemy. It is, I just want to just give some short comment about it. It's mm-hmm. like kind of new standard of relationship. It's the new way of relationship because mm-hmm. they cannot love their enemies or their neighbors. I think it is like how we can love our neighbors. We can, you know, we can take care about them. We can know them. We can call them. We can pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
We can listen to them because nowadays in the world, nobody really listen to each other. Like nobody know their neighbors. So that's the perfect way that we can. As a believer, we can reveal Christ to the people. That's the like I remember that verse, like Matthew 5:48. It says, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect."
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the with man is impossible, but with God, thanks God, with God, with new heart and new spirit, it's possible. It is possible to love people like Christ, to see people like Christ, and to touch them. And I just want to just share that. It's an amazing subject.
Stay with us for a couple of moments if you can.
Sure.
The fact that we are a new creation in Christ Jesus, and Pastor Shibeli was saying that, you know, the generations, right, that's all behind
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
All of those differences, all behind us, because we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. So with a new creation, with a new nature, comes a new quality of love, God's love, something that we did not possess in the past. So those differences, they could exist unless, of course, we have a new nature, which is what God has given us. And that makes all the difference in our relationships mm-hmm. with our neighbors and with our enemies.
Amen. It's the same subject, like even in 2 Corinthians 4:5. It says we are not preach ourselves. Like when Paul said that, it's like actually it's same for our relationship. Like we are not in the old flesh. We are not try to live in flesh and just all sin nature to trade the people to have a keep the relationship like that.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to follow the Spirit. We want to in the Holy Spirit to minister to the people. But also in the Word of God, which is the truth. That's the grace of God, and then He gave to us, and then now we just kind of our mind is enlightened,
mm-hmm.
our heart, and mm-hmm. then we treat the people like that.
Yeah, wow. Amazing. Yeah. Think about the Apostle Paul having a ministry to the Gentiles. A lot of Jews struggled with opening the door
mm-hmm.
to Gentiles, but God gave this great love to the Apostle Paul. And, you know, how easy it would have been for him to say, listen, God's called me to minister to my people, the Hebrew mm-hmm. people, the Jewish people. But Paul said, Peter has been given that special calling to reach other Jews. I have been given that special calling to reach Gentiles. And there were some Jews in the first century, they just did not want Gentiles in the church.
Mm-hmm.
But God's love was shed abroad in the heart of the Apostle Paul, and he was adamant. He was absolutely determined that he was going to reach the Gentile world with the gospel.
I think that if there's really love in a person's heart, then that love will be stretched out towards other people, you know, constraining love, initiating love. I don't think you can say that a person can walk around saying, God loves me, or he does love you, and I love God, without having a love for one another. And it really does begin, Pastor Love, with, the Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't like yourself, it's going to be kind of difficult to like somebody else. I mean, you got to live with yourself, you know. You don't like yourself, you don't love yourself, then how can you love your neighbor? So, I mean, think about that. That's such a simple statement, but very powerful. I don't love me. And I'm not talking about the old sin nature. I'm talking about loving the new man that we are in Christ, loving who I am in Christ. And this is so key. And this is why we see what is the reason for a lost and dying world and such a lack of penetration of the gospel in the world by churches and by people that should be going forward with this message. Is, do they really have this God's love in their hearts? Do they really love God? Because if you love God, God loves you, and you love God, then you're going to love yourself and love people. Love the church and love the gospel. I once did a series of messages called the 7 Pillars of God's Love. Number 1, God is love. Number 2, God loves me. Number 3, I love God. Number 4, I love myself in Christ. Number 5, I love the gospel. Number 6, I love life. I can't think of one. I'm missing one, but that's okay. But it was like the pillars of God's love. And that's really important. And understanding that we have, I love to go to Pastor Ben Narr. I don't know if he's on the line or he's just on Facebook.
No, just sending us a message on Facebook Live.
Because he accompanied me on much of this trip in West Africa.
And, well, Pastor Ben, if you get a chance, give us a call.
Great to have you call.
Let's go up to Pennsylvania. Pastor Duke is joining us live in the Grace Hour. Pastor Duke, welcome.
Hi, Pastor Love, Pastor Shabella. You guys are the dynamic duo of love on this program. I'm so glad I heard your message last night, Pastor Shabelli, so encouraging, and then your devotion today. And Pastor Love, I know that I heard that you've been teaching the book of Revelation, and I had this thought. It's interesting that in the book of Revelation, the only time you see love mentioned is before and after the tribulation period. It's before, when he's speaking of the churches, and then after Christ comes back and he's setting up his kingdom. But all through the tribulation period, the only time you see love mentioned is in chapter 12, when it says the believers that got saved, they love not their lives unto the death.
Mm.
I find that interesting. That, and then Jesus, when he referred to Matthew, in Matthew 24, when he refers to the tribulation period, he says in 24:12, the love of many will wax cold. That word love in the Greek, Pastor Shabelli, it's what you talked about today. It's agapeo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's speaking. It has to be referring to the church, because unbelievers, they don't have,
they
the
can't have that,
agapeo
right.
love in them.
Wow.
And the devil's trying to make the love in the body wax cold towards each other,
mm-hmm.
as we see that time coming. Isn't that interesting? The love only mentioned is in Revelation. It's during the time when the church is there and Christ's second coming, but only mentioned they love not their lives when they ministered in the tribulation.
Amen.
That's interesting.
It is interesting. And of course, in one sense, it's not surprising, because those portions of Scripture after the church is removed from the earth and the tribulation period begins is a time of the wrath of God and his divine justice and his punishment poured out upon a Christ-rejecting, unbelieving world. It's not that God is no longer a God of love, but But as we've been mentioning earlier, love can only be manifested through justice. And the world at that time has rejected the justice and the grace and the mercy of God. And there's nothing left but this wrath that's poured out by God.
Amen. So it makes it all the more important that we keep receiving the love of God, and then just be available, right, to bring as God wants to use us, to bring as many to Christ, so they can go up with us when He calls us home. Amen.
Yeah, and Pastor Duke, well, I'll ask you this question. You know, we've here at the ministry throughout the decades, we've got a lot of publications, but there is one booklet above all other booklets that's the best seller and the most asked for booklet that we've ever produced. And do you recall the name of it?
Just Let God Love You.
Yeah. That's it. And that's the message to the world. It all begins, Pastor Schibelli shared that earlier about the seven pillars of love. It begins with God is love, but the next pillar is just let God love you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And the fullness of love is in the body. Amen.
It's where we see it.
Amen.
Thanks, Pastor.
Amen.
Wow.
God bless you. Appreciate the call. 800-338-7060 is the toll-free number. The local number is 410-483-3700. And Pastor Maciek, if you are listening to us in
Pastor
Warsaw,
Maciek,
we would love to hear from you.
Yes.
Give us a quick update about the very soon to happen Eurocon taking place in your city, the capital city of the great country of Poland. We'd love to get that update.
Yes, you could call us and tell us what's going on.
Yeah, we'd love to hear from him if that's possible. In the meantime, let's go up to Port Chester, New York.
Wow.
Lauren is joining us on the Grace Hour.
Port
Lauren,
Chester.
Welcome.
Yeah, good afternoon, Pastor Schibelli and Pastor Love. You know, with all this hullabaloo going on in Europe right now, the other day, I couldn't help but think about that passage in Ephesians where Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Well, go ahead, fix the verse for me. I'm messing this up.
No, you're right. That's what he's bringing out, because it's just spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers.
And the reason this came to my mind the other day was because, you know, I've heard like different ideas of who the good guy is or who the bad guys are. Is NATO bad? Is Putin bad? And I couldn't help but with all this confusion to think to myself, you know, that problem is not really the issue anyway. It's mm-hmm. it's the principalities. So could you help me out a little bit with this? I think I'm starting to mess this up a little bit.
No, you're not. It's doing very well. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And he's talking about it's not flesh and blood. And that could be in a marriage. That could be in neighbors, in friendships, in the church. That we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And we think all the things that are going on that are contrary to God's nature have something to do with people. But really, it's got to do with the devil and demons, and the old sin nature, of course, is initiated to by the devil and demons, and that's not what we're fighting against. And if you try to fight against flesh and blood, that's like looking at the political scene or looking at what's going on in this world, and just like relegating it to flesh and blood only. No, it's like the enemy. He's the god of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 said he's the god of this world. And what does that exactly mean? And if that's absolutely true, which it is, because it's the Bible speaking it, then we realize that we're not in a battle against people or flesh and blood, but against the enemy and the devil and his principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And then rather than blame a person or people or even Christians, we recognize what this battle is against.
Yeah.
Does that help you, Lauren? It's kind of like, let me illustrate it this way.
I just also, there's one other thing I want to know, Pastor Schibelli. One of these days, am I going to see you on the Rachel Ray Show?
What's that?
That's a cooking show where, because I remember several weeks ago you were talking about lasagna and stuff like that.
Yeah, but that's my wife and my mother and my daughter and my granddaughter. That's not me.
Lauren, he does not have those skills.
I have trouble boiling an egg.
Both Pastor Schibelli and myself, we have a hard time cooking toast.
Brother, listen, thank you all so much for talking with me today. It's always a pleasure. Let's see if this gentleman from Poland is going to be speaking in a second or two.
All right. Yes. Thanks, Lauren. God bless you.
Wow.
Hey, we want to pray for a request that we received from Zechariah, paralyzed from the time he was 9 years old, I believe. Can't walk, can't speak. Father, we pray for this young man. We don't know all of the details regarding his condition, but it sounds very serious. So we pray for him. We pray that those that are caring for him would just receive your love and your compassion for him. We pray, Father, for his health. We pray for improvement. We pray that, again, the doctor's care that he's under would just be able to bring great comfort to him. And we hope that there's a resolution to all that he's going through and dealing with. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just a couple of minutes left in the broadcast, Pastor Schibelli.
Wow.
It's a very interesting theme and subject, one that challenges all of us. We're so grateful for the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
We know that that has to be the constraining motivator of our lives. We certainly don't want to undertake any ministry work without that being the
source.
Motivation.
Yeah. I want to just once again go over those pillars. I missed one, but I remembered it. God is love, number one. Number two, God loves me and I receive it. Number three, I love Jesus Christ with the love he has loved me with. I love the new person that I am in Christ. Self-image, love. Number five, I love the church. I love the body of Christ. I love believers. Number six, I love the gospel. I love the gospel. And number seven, I just love life. I love life, you know.
Amen.
Seven pillars of God's love. Write them down on a piece of paper and keep them.
Amen.
In your mind or on your paper, whichever it may be.
And let God's love keep you as well. We're out of time, friends, but thank you so much for joining us for this, the Monday edition of the Grace Hour. We will continue to address this theme throughout the week, and we want to mention once again that coming up on Wednesday, we have the Women's Day broadcast, which we have that on a monthly basis now here in the Grace Hour, so you can look forward to hearing from the ladies coming up on Wednesday, and then, of course, on Thursday, Pastor Stephen's ministry and the message that he'll have, giving Calvary's love with no strings attached. That's going to be a good one. Thanks for joining us. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.